This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, it seems like only yesterday that a week has passed where we talked with Kurt Collins talking about UFOs from an historical perspective. So we learned the lessons of history. I think Kurt's one of the unsung heroes in the UFO field, don't you, Randall?
I really love his blood, blue, blurry lines, and I also really love that he's one of the people who comes onto our forums and has been participating for years with the Paracast, and that we can have people like that come on the show who have just got a real interest, a real genuine interest in the subject matter and are so knowledgeable, because not everyone has to be, you know, a 3-star, 4-star personality in the field in order to do something really meaningful.
I think people should be visiting blueblurrytonguetwisterlines.com, where you'll learn about the things that Kurt has done. He was also one of the group who exposed the Roswell quote-unquote slides, so he has a lot of great knowledge for that. We've got a guest, one of our best guests, coming back this week, Randall. Tell us more.
Right. Today we have paranormal lecturer, presenter, and author Morgan Knudsen from Edmonton, Canada, who founded Entity Seeker and has been involved with haunted hospitals, paranormal 911, and teaches classes on how the living can cope with haunted houses and homes and such. I think I've got that mostly right. Does that sound about right, Morgan?
That actually does, and I love being here. I love chatting with you guys. That's always so much fun.
Indeed. One of the things I love about you is you are always so positive. Every time, if you go to YouTube and you watch your videos or you listen to any of your shows, it just comes across. It's somewhat infectious. Every time I come away feeling more uplifted than I did before. It's just quite amazing. You have a real gift.
That makes me so happy to hear, because I think once we start to realize that what we're doing and the energy that we bring into a space really does change what we have access to and our perceptions and, you know, what we're allowing actually into our experience, what we're attracting into our experience. Once you realize that that makes all the difference, then it's hard to really go back to feeling like you're playing the victim or wanting to be upset. Like, you start really looking for things to feel good. And if I'm doing a class or a lecture or anything like that, that's really such a go-to for me is I want whoever I'm talking to, whether it be somebody one-on-one or whether it be somebody like a whole audience full of 1,000 people, I want each of those people to have the experience of walking away feeling at least more empowered or better than what they did when they walked in. Because that's the whole thing with, you know, any of the events or anything like this or paranormal events just to begin with, is that you want to have people have a positive experience rather than it just being something terrifying all the time.
For me, it's kind of ironic in a way, for two reasons, though. One of them is that I'm a complete non-believer in afterlives. But it doesn't make any difference. I can listen to you. We've talked before on the show, and you've been really open-minded about that, because you have a way of relating to people who have completely different beliefs. And the other thing is that you are into fire-breathing and reptiles. So your show is more like Alice Cooper than it is, necessarily like ghost hunters in some ways.
It's such a balance of a bunch of different things. It's so funny, but you know, every single thing that's in the shows relate back to the idea that the things that we're taught and our paradigms about the world and how we grow up and, you know, the sociocultural effects that happen you got to have this way of being able to access that with different people. And so things like fire, for example, you know, if I can shift somebody's paradigm on fire and what it's capable of and what we're capable of doing with it, you know, if I can start to break down some core boundaries like that people have set up, then it's easier then for them to access the idea that this world isn't all about the things that we can touch, that maybe they don't know everything. And once I can start accessing that part of them, when they start to understand that, like, wait a minute, you know, I just because I've held this belief for 30, 40, 50, 60 years doesn't necessarily mean that that belief can't be taken apart and examined. And that's my goal with the fire aspect of it. And with the reptiles, like I use my Python Galen frequently and just in discussion, because animals like snakes and whatnot, and snakes are just one example of them, but they have got such a completely different way of accessing their world on a sensory level. And we take our senses for granted as if this is the only way to process information. And with something like a snake who, for example, will smell or taste smell or see heat, or, you know, they've got this different way of processing information. And we have to realize that every single person also has different ways of processing information. So once we can start to access that, and animals help to make that idea a little bit more accessible for people, there becomes sort of an easier bridge to manage when people are, you know, being critical or closed-minded about this stuff.
Oh, indeed. And I think that's another one of the gifts that you seem to have with people, is that you can reach people on their own wavelength. And from there, you're able to get across the ideas or impart whatever it is that you might feel at the time is going to be a benefit to them, because your aim, especially talking with you during our last show, is to help people quite a bit, especially people who are having a tough time, say, with loss or grieving. And I think that's a really wonderful thing to do. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about Teaching the Living. This is your book, and it's part of your courses, I believe.
It is, yeah. And what's neat is that it's been picked up in a few curriculums and post-secondary education systems as well, because it really is about bridging those belief gaps. You know, because if I go in and teach a university class, for instance, I've got people from all over the place. We've got people with, you know, Christian beliefs, Native American beliefs. We've got people with that have come from Haiti. We've got people. So all of these different, you get this mix of people, and they're all there for one reason, usually. And that is, you know, they want to move forward and, you know, go into places and help individuals, because usually it's with social work programs or psychology programs and things like that. And it's so important to realize that everybody's version of happiness is not going to be yours. And that's okay. But, you know, a lot of these groups and stuff like that, I find when, you know, they're working with clients in the terminal, they've got a very rigid standpoint as to what exactly is going to work. You know, you're going to follow this religion, you're going to use these principles, and then this is going to fix it. And that's just, it doesn't make any sense, because in no other situation, you know, would you go in and expect somebody to completely change their way of life and the way they've lived just because, you know, you've got a set of beliefs that you believe is going to, you know, eradicate their house of whatever that you think is in there. And, you know, and the science of it just doesn't back that up anyway. But what has produced results is people getting into that better state of mind and living their best life and working through the old tapes and the damage and the paradigms and letting a lot of that go. And what we found, even in the research, when you look at things like clinical parapsychology and things like that, is that a lot of the people that have these experiences that bring them joy are actually in a less resistant space. So, you know, they're doing things like mindfulness or, you know, vacuuming, for instance, or even just doing the dishes, really mundane things that's just kind of letting their mind go and letting go of the negativity. And all of a sudden, you know, they report having that visit from their loved one, or they report having that anomalous experience. So it's neat to see what the correlation is there.
We're going to have to do a little breaking here. or something of that nature, and then we'll get back to this discussion with Morgan and Gina Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Message and data rates may apply.
Help! Seriously, I'm too young for hair loss.
My hairline keeps creeping back. Receding?
I got this bald spot. It's thinning everywhere.
I'm gonna have to give up and shave it.
Dude. Put down the razor, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is about to give you your real hair back permanently. Don't ignore the signs of hair loss. Bosley is giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals all the signs, and a free gift card to anyone who texts KIT 88 to 85850. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Using the latest technology, Bosley's solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Plus, since Bosley has new non-surgical options, you owe it to yourself to text now for an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off, no matter what level of hair loss you have. Text KIT 88 to 85850. KIT 88 to 85850.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100, ShopSuperTea.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Morgan Knudsen joining us for, I don't know, third time, is it?
Something like that.
Three times a charm. We were going into an interesting discussion there about people, but these days we live in a polarized environment. In the United States, we have two distinct realities. There are others. And it's like this is the third dimension. This is the seventh. That's hard enough.
Yeah, definitely. I think what's interesting about that and about the climate right now is that the idea of choosing well-being and choosing, you know, what you're exposing yourself to and the thoughts you're thinking and the information you're taking in is becoming more and more important. So I've noticed that in the last while, like even my newsfeed on Facebook, for example, there was a while there where it was just becoming bombarded with just a lot of heavy negativity. And a lot of it was stuff that I couldn't actually do anything about. There's nothing that I could act on. There's nothing that it was just adding to, I think, this feeling of just helplessness about things that were going on in the world. So I think we really have to pay attention to the amount that we take in, especially in states like this, and learn to pick your battles. And we see this even in the world of the paranormal, where, you know, you've got these sort of polarized opinions about all sorts of different things. Everybody's got a different set of beliefs on it. You know, there's just comes a time where you have to learn to choose your own peace. So if nothing else is coming of the situation right now, you know, it's at least making people, you know, have to make that decision. How important is your well-being? How important is your mental well-being?
And that's what it really boils down to. And I think that's why you're so successful, because that's what you focus on. It doesn't really matter if you're a skeptic or an atheist or a Christian or a Hindu or whatever is going on, these experiences are very real to people. And if you're focused on people's well-being and not trying to impose your own views on what should be or what necessarily you think it is, I think you're going to be able to have a much easier time making progress. For me, that was a really tough lesson for me to learn, because I was, you know, I'm all about facts, and, you know, all you really have to do is be able to tell people the facts and they'll get it. But that's not how the world works.
No, it's not. And the thing is with, you know, depending on what you're looking at in terms of facts, those facts can change all the time. So, you know, what might be fact one day might not be fact tomorrow, whether it be, you know, an advancement in the scientific world, or whether it be, you know, in terms of, we were just talking politics. So, you know, a whistleblower comes out and just, you know, destroys somebody's career or something, like, you know, something happens and suddenly those facts change. So I think, you know, we live in this world where everything has this ebb and flow to it, and this sort of flux. And I mean, even down to the way the world is just built, just on a molecular and you know, atomic level, it's just everything's got this sort of flow to it. So I think being flexible, especially in the paranormal arena, is so important. We've got studies and stuff like that coming out constantly from, you know, universities all over the place that all of a sudden just, you know, change how we have to do things in this field. You know, having that flexibility and not getting stuck in the old adages is just, it's crucial for progress.
Absolutely. And so let's go way back. Now, apparently, when you were younger, you lived in Vancouver, and that's where your own personal experiences began. Can you tell our listeners about some of those events?
Oh my gosh, so I had such a childhood. And some of the events that I remember were definitely stemming out of Vancouver. So then the first incident that I had, it was so interesting, because I was about 9 years old, 8 or 9 years old, and I was living in a fourplex in Surrey, BC, and the fourplex was quite nice. The complex was quite nice. But we started to notice these little things going in and around the house that just didn't make any sense. We'd notice stuff that was moved that shouldn't have been. We were seeing things and people moving upstairs and you know, nobody would be home. We had quite a number of very strange experiences and a lot of movement back and forth on our staircase that went up to the second floor. So a lot of this stuff was going on, and our house, our apartment, or the townhome thing that we were in was under a renovation at the time. And I remember one morning I got up and it was really early, and I heard somebody downstairs in our kitchen, and I thought my mom and dad were up, and I came down the stairs, and I got about three quarters of the way down the stairs and I called out hello, and there was no answer. It was just silence, but the footsteps, the noise in the kitchen just quit. And immediately the hair rose up on the back of my neck, and I realized, I was like, this wasn't one of my parents. And my mind, of course, immediately went to somebody's broken into the house. And I was curious enough to sort of come around the corner of the stairwell. I didn't really know what to do. I was terrified. And I tried to turn on the living room light, which wouldn't go on. But I heard from the kitchen, the footsteps come out from behind where the kitchen was. The kitchen lights were on, so you could, you know, you kind of had an idea as to where things were. And I had this really strange, opaque figure come out from behind the kitchen, and it came right up to me and disappeared.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it scared me to death. I was just terrified. I went running back up the stairs, and I was just, apparently I was yelling for my mom and dad. I don't even remember doing that. And they came downstairs, and immediately they thought the same thing I did. Somebody's broken into the house. And my dad went downstairs to investigate, and there was nobody there. But what was interesting was the fact that when he went to turn the kitchen light on, there was no problem. So it was a very strange incident, but at the same time, I was so fascinated by what had just happened. So from there, we ended up moving into a home, same city. And that home, I would absolutely love to go back and visit, because it was the most phenomenal case of what we would call residual energy, or the replaying of events, past events, that I've ever experienced up until now. And we heard, the whole family had heard a woman crying in the basement. We heard a dog running up and down the hallways. My dad would feel a dog jump up on the end of his bed at night. And eventually we all saw that. Just very bizarre stuff, but it was fascinating. And all these areas, I think, you know, they just had a history. It was pretty cool.
That is absolutely fascinating. So what this shadow person, would you call it a shadow person? You know how they talk about shadow people? Or was it something different your first experience?
I don't think it was a shadow person. I don't know what it was. It was, you know, all I remember is, you know, what I described, but, you know, I think the fascination into it, this was such a good example of, you know, where you put your energy, you create more, and, where you put your focus, you create more, because I think what went on there was, you know, I became absolutely fascinated with what was going on. And, you know, the activity sort of increased as my fascination grew as well. So I think it was a combination of, you know, my own personal focus into it, sort of just attracted into my space, basically what I was thinking about.
Let's do our break here with Morgan Knudsen. And of course, we're talking about her introduction to the world of the paranormal, so unexpected for everyone. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNlife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
With conferences getting canceled and mass public transportation getting disrupted, the coronavirus is not only a threat to the country, but it's also putting people's travel plans in disarray. As of Saturday, there were 437 cases of the coronavirus across the United States, and at least 19 people have died. House Minority Leader from California, Kevin McCarthy, tells Fox News the spending bill regarding the coronavirus that President Trump signed on Friday will do a great deal in helping fight the virus.
Now, he just signed more than $8 billion. That focuses on testing, treatment, and also telemedicine, which is very important on how to deal with this.
A busy weekend campaigning for former Vice President Joe Biden and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders as a mini Super Tuesday is set to take place on March 10th, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendovite. I have been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Well, of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So, Morgan, I don't know, but if I had encountered all this stuff as a child, I'd be screaming into the night. You're a brave one.
I think I had the choice to make it something terrifying or something that was a fascination and a curiosity. And I've found that throughout my life, I've always found that if something is scaring me or is bothering me in some way, if you turn it into a curiosity or a fascination, it takes the fear out of it, which is kind of what I hope to do with a lot of my presentations and stuff like that. Because once you can kind of change that energy, you can open your mind up a little bit. And I think we see a lot of that when it comes to, even current situations in the world, things like racism and stuff like that. Oftentimes, when you break down the racism, it's a fear and it's an ignorance. When you can start to turn that fear into something else, that really starts to change how you're living. That's the one thing I'm really trying to work on with my audiences, is the fact that it's like, look, we can come at this from a standpoint of fear, which is a lot of the time the television shows and things like that, they really want to hammer on the idea that this is all a nightmare. And it's like, yeah, we can come at it with this standpoint. However, how we treat the unknown as paranormal researchers is going to set an example for other people as to how they need to treat the unknown. And that unknown might be immigrants, for example, or that unknown might be, I don't know, a new scientific discovery they don't understand, or a culture they don't understand, or something like that. So I think as paranormal researchers, because we deal with people all the time and we have this direct connection to understanding the unknown, we have to be very careful about how we demonstrate it and how we investigate it. Because if we're presenting the unknown as terrifying and fearful, then people are going to start to react that way. And then that's never good.
there you go, being all positive again. That is just wonderful. And I couldn't agree more, actually. And I meant to get to this actually a little bit later, but since you are kind of on this wavelength, one of the things we've noticed and heard from other people in the field of the paranormal is that the phenomena tends to reflect the worldview of the experiencer. So if you're going to have a worldview that is all negative, then that's what's going to probably happen to you. And I think it goes even further. I mean, in other words, if you take three different types of investigators out into the woods and something strange happens, the ghost hunter might say it's the ghost of some lost prospector, and the Bigfooter will say it's a Sasquatch, and the UFO hunter will think the aliens have landed. You get all these different perspectives. How do you reconcile all of that? Like, how do we know what's really going on then with it all? That's my question.
Well, it's a good question, because the perception is reality, you know, and what we go into, we all have these filters and how we see the world through these various avenues. The damn thing is that when we start to look at stuff like that, like, for example, you know, the UFO case versus the Sasquatch case or something like that. At the end of the day, you've got to be able to kind of put your filters down and start looking, look at the direct evidence, because that's oftentimes very telltale, and not be invested in being right. That's probably one of the biggest things with this field, is that people get so hung up on being right, and then if they're wrong, they don't know how to deal with that. So they'll start cherry picking information, and it's like, all right, it's called confirmation bias.
Right. So that cognitive dissonance kicks in, and they go into a defensive mode, and then that's it. The walls go up, and you get nowhere.
Exactly. So it's one of those things, I think, where, you know, you have to be okay with A, not knowing, and B, being wrong about it. Because if you can't, then you're going to get stuck into those ruts of thinking, and then nothing happens. I've actually ended up firing an investigator a number of years back because he decided that he knew everything and that he was going to just quit learning. He was just done. He just knew it all. And I was like, well, then can't help me. And it's just one of those things where if you pigeonhole your knowledge that way, then there's really nothing at that point that you're going to be able to continue to branch out on and learn any different. Just as a human race, we just don't know enough about the world to be able to take that standpoint. I don't care. It doesn't matter who you are or what field you're in.
I do think, though, that there are what you might call hierarchies of reasonableness. So not all opinions have equal weight. In other words, some of them really are nonsensical and others are a lot more sensible. That doesn't necessarily mean the sensible one is right, but I think if we don't know the answer, probably the most reasonable thing to do is to look at the ideas that are probably more well thought out, you know, ones that carry more weight than ones that don't.
Absolutely, and I think that's where a lot of the university studies and things like that can really come into play and help us out, because we start to look at what's been brought to the table, what's been studied, what's currently in the works from even institutions like Princeton. Like, they've got their parapsychology lab and places all over the world in various institutions like Coventry and all of those. We can start to piece together some facts, I think, based on what we know so far about what's going on and what can happen in this field. And I think you're completely right where, you know, there is sometimes there's just completely unreasonable things that are just put on the table. And I think there is some basis to kind of take a step back and some foundation in some of this research that can actually help us move forward in that area. When something's just not adding up to what we know can happen or exist, then, you know, at some point we have to turn around and say, no, that's just, you know, that just doesn't make any sense, or it's causing harm or something like that.
I think you make a really valid point, too, about the idea that being wrong can help us know more or learn more than just being right all the time. And in fact, I've run into this quite a few times on different forums, especially the skeptical forums, even on our own forum. Recently, I had to make it really clear that while I might have some really good reasons for thinking the way that I do about a particular issue, the thing that I'm really looking for is to be proven wrong. And when I'm proven wrong, it is the highlight of my day, because then I've learned something new.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think, some of the fun of doing this work is to turn around and try to, you know, debunk some of this stuff or figure out what it could be, you know, based on some of the laws of the world that we know, and then realizing that, no, this actually happened anyway. And that can be really the fun of it, is that moment when you realize, hey, wait a minute, this shouldn't have happened. Isn't that the neatest thing? And then you get the adventure of trying to figure out why it did. It's like magic. It's living in this, you know, almost magical world in a way.
Oh, definitely. And it's the frontier. It's the cutting edge of what we know and or what we think we know in the world. Okay, I'm just going to say it. I don't care what anybody thinks, all right? And this might sound bad, but I am a believer to the extent that I absolutely believe that people have these experiences, like the experiences that you just described, that so many experiencers have described, not only in the realm of the paranormal, but of course with UFOs and other things. I don't think that they're all just misperceptions or hallucinations or hoaxes. Something weird and strange is going on in this reality. Whatever it is, I don't know the answer to, but something is going on.
Absolutely. And the neat thing about, you know, where this, some of this research is taking us is the definition of, well, what is hallucination versus what is in our perception and in our reality. And that line is getting thinner and thinner and thinner, especially there's some work coming out of Brazil universities and stuff like that right now that is very intriguing in the world of sort of that hallucination and, you know, the idea of mediumship and stuff like that, where they're really hardcore looking at brain imaging and whatnot of you know, mediums and things like that, and trying to figure out, okay, well, what is that line?
So here's the deal. We're going to have the deal of the century. Well, pretty good deal for new subscribers to the Paracast Plus. To get more information, go to, that's the Paracast.plus. Once again, the Paracast.plus. And don't forget the After the Paracast podcast. You never know what to expect next. That's the Paracast.plus. Once again, the Paracast.plus. Let's break it here. Morgan, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers.
Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com antibacterial or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
No, we're not talking about those lines. We're trying to figure out what's going on with the human mind, especially those who have strange powers. Morgan?
Yeah, I love this topic because for so long, I think within the history of medicine and stuff like that, we have been so quick to rule people as, in the late 1800s, it was all hysteria. We go back to ancient Mesopotamia and, the Babylonians and stuff like that. Now everything was, inflicted by demonic possession and things like that. And we're so quick to turn around and label these people as they're bad or there's something wrong with them or they're mentally ill or whatever that label has to be. And we've missed some of the perceptions and the skill sets and things like that of people that are genuinely having these experiences, that genuinely have tuned into something more, whatever that more might be for you. And we've dismissed it and dismissed it and dismissed it. And I think now we're finally hitting this great age where we've got the technology and the understanding to realize, wait a minute, no, there's so much more to this. And that line isn't where it used to be anymore. And I think that's fantastic.
What do you think of the idea that paranormal phenomena might be really all one thing that manifests itself in different ways? Like there's people that are trying to put together what might be called a grand unified theory of the paranormal. And do you think that sort of thing is reasonable or that it can never happen or that, what do you think?
Well, what's so neat about that is I think this overarching concept that our perception of the world in general is so narrow, is so small, and not because it's our fault, just because our senses will only allow so much in, and we only are allowed to process a certain amount of information to make our world tangible. And I think this overall theory is just the idea that, well, wait a minute, like there is just in general so much more that we can't see and so much more that we are not able to process yet, that there's more to our perception than what's out there than what we're really considering. So, I mean, the idea that, it is all one thing. I mean, I think everything's connected anyway. I don't really believe in coincidence. So I think it makes a lot of sense that, overall, we're just not perceiving the world to the level that our brains will, conduct.
Okay, so coincidence, that leads us into this whole concept of synchronicity. And do you find that that happens with you more often than maybe other people, or do you believe in synchronicity?
Yeah, I do. And what I've found is it's very much tied into my emotional state, which is really interesting, and which is what I talk about with teaching the living. And I find that I very much get results based on where I am emotionally. And it's kind of that whole theory where, you know, if something goes wrong in the morning, you know, you get out of bed and stub your toe, and then you're mad about stubbing your toe, and then full brain. And, you know, it keeps going on and on and on and on. And you're like, how is this day going to get any worse? And all of a sudden it does. And you just keep going. And I think, but I find what's interesting about that is that, you know, stuff starts lining up based on where I'm sitting emotionally. And I find that the more I either, the happier I get, the better things get. But also the more I let go of expectations, let go of, you know, overthinking and emotional turmoil and things like that. It's almost like you end up creating this allowing space where there's something else that's working to your advantage, or you're letting things in that are kind of sitting on the outskirts of your perception. Well, I find very much so that, you know, if I need to do something, or I'm worried about money or something like that, the less money I have, you know, the less I'm worried about money, the more money I have. And it's very interesting. And I don't think that's a coincidence.
With the idea of synchronicity, something, I don't know if you guys want to hear this, but just a little quick thing that happened to me the other day. Is it okay if I mention it?
I will give you one demerit, but go ahead.
Okay. So there's a little thing that I do with doors. And you know how when there's double doors at a place, or when you go in, you might open a door for someone. So I'm one of those people, if I see someone coming, I'll open the door and I'll hold it for them. So the other day, I go into the bookshop, the Indigo bookshop over here, and I open the door for this fellow that walks in. He walks in, grabs the inside door, and opens it for me. And so I say, oh, cool, instant karma. And the day goes on, and I come home, I turn on the FM radio, and guess what song comes on? Instant Karma by John Lennon.
Brilliant.
It's just like, okay. Like,
yeah.
Right after coming back from the store.
Yeah, I believe that. And I find stuff like that will happen to me frequently, or for example, I will, I'll be talking to somebody about an old movie that hasn't been in circulation for, you know, 50 years. And all of a sudden you turn on the TV and it's on. Stuff like that, right? And I think it's just the neatest thing. And as I say, I think we really do, you know, attract what we put our focus on. And when we put our focus on something, that it shifts things, it brings things to us. And eventually it just gets to the point where you realize that there's the odds of it being a coincidence are so astronomically high that it seems that's the impossible part. So yeah, I find that all the time. And when I point it out to my clients, what's interesting is that they start to see it right away as well. You know, if I'm in a home that, you know, people are feeling like they're being, you know, haunted by something negative or something like that, and I turn around and get them to start checking what they're putting their attention on, or checking their, you know, their emotional center or whatever during that time period, it almost always is a reflection of how they're feeling or something they've talked about earlier in the day. Like, probably one of the most difficult things with clients is getting them to stop talking about the activity, because it becomes the center of their world. You know, they phone their friends about it, and they go for coffee about it, and they're looking it up on the internet. And so breaking that focus and saying, no, 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 the more you put your attention here, the more you're going to get. It can be a really difficult thing for them, but it's important.
Tell us how you, well, I think we can guess how you got started with Entity Seeker, but give us a little bit of the background of when you decided to actually put it into action, get a website and so on, and build this into a sort of career for yourself.
It started for me so long ago, and it was when I met this amazing person. Her name was Stephanie Wirtz, and she and I went to school together. We were best friends, and she's just super bright. She had muscular dystrophy, so she was always sitting out of gym classes and stuff like that because she was just couldn't do it. And she and I ended up becoming extremely good friends. We were like sisters for about 17, 18 years. And she had an absolute fascination with this stuff as well. And the two of us, because neither of us were extremely well liked in school, both of us were kind of the bully kids, and we kind of had checked out of that environment because we really didn't care about popularity and we really didn't care about any of that stuff. But we were fascinated with this, and we ended up spending our weekends, you know, dance nights, all these different things, focused on learning this and reading it because we were just absolutely enamored with what was going on, both for us and our personal lives and the research that was coming out. And the more we read, the more we started to recognize patterns in people versus what was going on around them. And the more we started to examine that and push that forward, the more we realized that there had to be something to that. So the first case that we ended up actually getting called on was a heritage park here in Edmonton. And we went out and spent a couple of nights at this old home and with some of the employees, because the employees were having trouble at the house. And so it was the first time we had a business actually call us and want to implement some of this stuff. So we kind of went from there, and we started at that point getting into the mindset that, hey, you know what, we could be helping people through teaching this. And because we kept seeing results over and over and over again. So we started out really small. She lived in a condo building. We were able to rent out the bottom of her condo building as a lecture space. And we started to, you know, ask people to come to some of these talks, and we were presenting these talks. And it just sort of snowballed from there. People got wind of it, and they started to implement it in their own life. And then I think they realized that, hey, wait a minute, these two are onto something. And it just snowballed from there. And then she passed away a number of years ago now. But she was absolutely instrumental in this coming together.
We're going to come together with these announcements. That's a bad segue. Morgan, Jean, Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.